open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Bison Report TV. Really, really excited today. We've got a special guest. Those of you checking this out on the podcast side obviously can't see him, but those of you on BRTV can see. Quarterback coach, entrepreneur. Why don't you kind of explain to us who you are, Quincy Avery. How you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent. I appreciate you having me on.
So let's get kind of started, because I'm not sure people always understand what kind of, because you don't work for a team in any way.
No, I am completely independent. So I really just try and work with elite quarterbacks at all levels, high school, college, and the NFL. And I just do my best to help them out to grow and enhance their game on an individual level, less concerned about like the team aspect, scheme, and those sort of things.
Sure. So how did you get involved with Trey Lance then? When did he kind of catch your eye as far as reaching out to him, or when did you guys kind of start working together?
So I actually reached out to Trey when he was in 11th grade. I'm from Minnesota, so I get back and forth all the time. I usually try and help out as many quarterbacks as I can from Minnesota. We kept missing each other. Then I had the opportunity to see him at Elite 11 in Chicago. Saw him there. I was really intrigued. Just by some of the things that he was doing, and also knowing that he didn't have a private quarterback instructor really caught me, because for someone to be that talented, and also, and I'm saying raw in a way, like they just hadn't had the opportunity to work with somebody just on the individual skills and those sort of things, but he was still really, really talented, and that jumped out at you very early. And it was kind of shocking to me that he didn't have some of the bigger offers. Not that NDSU is like anything to not look at highly. Just you would think someone like that would have some Big Ten.
Right. I mean, at this point, it's pretty obvious that the Big Ten and the Big 12 missed there.
100%. They swung in. I mean, they didn't even swing and miss. They just didn't see it, and they had a hard time predicting what was going to go on, especially how talented he was. And I think that most of those guys are regretting it right now.
Yeah, Marshall, you know, obviously isn't a huge high school. I think Minnesota saw his athleticism and said, why don't you come play defensive back? It's pretty clear that that would have been a waste of his abilities. And really, I think, kind of an unprecedented freshman season. Everybody knows the raw stats, the 28 touchdowns and zero interceptions. But what do you think he was – why was that possible? I think the redshirt year is important. I think you can maybe comment a little bit to this more than even I can. I think Randy Hedberg is a really good position coach for him at North Dakota State. But why do you think that was possible for him to basically be the best – not basically, I mean, he was awarded the best player in the FCS as a second year in the program but first-year player?
Yeah, that ability to redshirt, I think, was as helpful as anything. And then he got to see Easton Stick go ahead and do it. And I know that he really prepared like a pro, but – the thing that separates Trey from so many other guys that I've worked with is his absolute preparation and attention to detail throughout the week. So he goes into his games Saturday afternoons more prepared than any other college quarterback, regardless of level. Like, he's the most prepared college quarterback every single week. And I think that speaks a lot not only to his quarterback coach, but the offensive coordinator there, who I know does a great job with Trey, just in terms of developing him and making sure that he's ready each and every week. But his decision-making process and his ability to process information has allowed him to be so successful.
I think a lot of people get stuck on the legs and the ability to extend plays, and also the ability, obviously, to do design QB run stuff. I mean, their entire basically offensive game plan against James Madison in the national championship game was to use Trey's legs. How do you, as a private quarterback coach, kind of balance reining in that athletic ability and making sure he is developing as a passer, because that's going to be the primary goal at the next level, is to throw the ball. But still, like, he's an athlete. You got to let him be an athlete.
I've had the opportunity to work with a bunch of really, really talented quarterbacks who use their legs as well as their arms. And that the ability to add so much in that dimension with his legs, that's God-given, and he's going to continue to do that. And I hope that he does, because it really stresses out the defense. But the things that we work on are simply focused on the ability to throw the ball, manipulate the pocket, and get the ball out of his hands and to the receiver's hands. So that's not something I spend too much time worrying about. I know that when we get to work, our main goal is just make him more proficient from the pocket and doing all the little things that's going to add to this game.
So where are your kind of bona fides? I mean, how did you get your start? Did you play at the college or professional level? Where did this career path for you start?
Yeah, so I'm the son of an NFL coach, so I've always been around the game. My dad coached both in the NFL and at the college level. So every step of the way, I've just seen football players in high-level quarterbacking. Then from there, I played college football, got done with my college career, went directly to UCLA, was working under Norm Chow and Rick Neuheisel, two excellent coaches and really good developers of the quarterback position. And then I just started getting more passionate about the position and how can I help guys just reach the next level in terms of their development. Moved to Atlanta, quickly got Josh Dobbs, Deshaun Watson, and those guys ready for college and help them grow throughout their career. And I've just continued to develop and grow more and more quarterbacks. And now I've probably built one of the biggest quarterback training businesses in all of the country, where we're literally just working with the top guys to make them a little bit better.
And what was it about – I mean, what made the – because I think obviously the standard path is where you were at UCLA, but then working your way up to being a quarterback coach at the college level, then maybe an offensive coordinator and so on and so forth. Like, that's the normal path. What was it that made you decide, you know what, I'm actually going to do this independent thing?
Yeah, so I was at UCLA, and there was a situation where I brought up to one of the associate ADs, like, I think we should get these guys suits so that we could help them out so that their career after football, they'll still be successful and they'll have kind of a leg up. And they're like, oh, it's not really what we're here for. We got to win games. So I started to understand really early, like, I could have a bigger impact on guys in the private sector because I could care about them individually, not necessarily the whole team. And I wanted to have influence on the most influential position in all of team sports.
Awesome. So let's get into maybe some of the nitty gritty with Trey. You mentioned raw, and I don't think you meant that as like a slight to his fundamentals, but he's oozing with talent. What have you kind of been working on him with as far as his fundamentals? What do you guys, you know, constant, not necessarily that he makes the same mistakes, but what are you guys working on with him? What part of his games are you trying to develop?
Yeah, it's a little nitty-gritty stuff, like small, minute details that just in terms of being a better rotational athlete, some of the things guys get a little linear, you know, just little small nuances in his throwing, just his body positioning, the base balance, and making sure that we're able to get back there each and every time that we get to throw the ball. So we create a higher level of consistency. And that's really all you can ask for, is be the same guy over and over again. So that's really the thing that I spend the most time doing, is not necessarily in the pocket, just those rhythm throws, because I think he was as good as anybody across the country at those. But when you get in positions where you got to move a little bit and get back on base and balance, those are things that we spend a good bit of time dealing with.
Yeah, it seemed like some of the time when things got off schedule, it was either run or, you know, bomb it downfield. That reset is probably something that you're working on to try and make those second reaction plays.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I hang my hat on, especially dealing with guys who are uber athletic, is just help them out so that they can get all their twitchy energy back under control after they make those strong sudden moves when they got to evade defenders and create room in the pocket.
If you're an NFL evaluator, outside of, you know, just the level of competition, because it's the same thing. Every FCS prospect, that's the number one thing that gets brought up. In my opinion, it's kind of lazy. But if you're an NFL evaluator, what excites you about Trey, and what do you need to see improve to solidify him as, you know, because where he's being talked about now, he's a face of the franchise guy. I mean, you're literally tying your family's employment to the success of Trey Lance.
Yeah, I think that you've seen all you needed to see from his last year of football. He's a great decision maker, and I think that's the thing that you want more than anything else is how does somebody make decisions in high-stress situations. That doesn't matter if you're playing Division III schedule, Division I schedule. The guys that are around you are going to be similar in terms of skill levels as their opponents. So whoever he was playing against, all the guys in this team are very, very similar. So the level of separation they're going to get from defenders, it's just going to be the same. And seeing him do these things, process information so quick, rack up all the touchdowns and no interceptions, just lends you to understanding that this guy is an elite decision maker. And he's someone that I would want to put my career in his hands, because I know he's going to continue to put us in good situations.
With that said, I mean, you kind of hit the next question nail on the head, which is everyone's kind of anointed him as one of the top three quarterbacks in this class. And you look kind of historically, that basically means you're a top 10 pick or at least a top 12 pick. Normally by that time, three quarterbacks will have gone. What do you think it is about Trey's makeup that he has not opted out? Why do you think he's going to for sure play this game on October 3rd and frankly hasn't made any other announcements regarding his future? What is it about him, do you think, that despite having basically top 10 status locked up, or at least theoretically locked up, why does he want to play?
Yeah, it's cool because Trey doesn't have to play another college snap again in his life, and he'd still
absolutely
be,
not.
Yeah, he'd still be one of those top picks in this upcoming draft, if he wanted to. Like, I don't know if he's definitely coming out for the draft. I don't know if he's staying, but if he wanted to, he could be that guy. I think it says a lot about him, how much he cares about his team, how much he cares about his teammates, and how much he cares about the NDSU, the Bison, as a program. Like, he's laying it all out there for those guys, and I think that that's really cool and a testament to him as a person. And it's also a testament to why you'd want him to be your franchise quarterback moving forward.
I want to ask you two questions about North Dakota State kind of in general. And the first thing is, what are they doing as far as either scouting or developing quarterbacks that other schools aren't? Because Trey is about to be the fourth consecutive starter over basically a decade to get an NFL look. Brock Jensen was an undrafted free agent. Obviously, Carson, the number two overall pick. Easton, a mid-round pick. Now Trey will probably be a top six or eight pick. I mean, there are few programs in the entire country that can boast success like that. But these guys didn't get a scholarship offer from Minnesota or Nebraska or Iowa State. I mean, what is NDSU doing well from either a talent evaluation standpoint or a development standpoint that the other – major programs in the upper Midwest aren't?
I think it's two things, right? They're both recruiting and they're developing these guys really, really well. I think that they do a great job of understanding who it is and the characteristics that they're looking for, and they value those more than other people's opinions. I think that sometimes when you're a school that gets to just choose the guys that you want, you don't have to look for the 4- and 5-star guy who might not be the guy that fits your system. And then when they get there, they develop them better than anybody in terms of understanding the game, really being able to play in a pro-style system. Like, I'm not sure if Easton was as physically gifted as a lot of other guys where he got drafted, but what he was is he understood the game as well as anybody. The things that they're asking them to do week in and week out, it lets you know that they're ready to play the NFL game. They're making mic points. They're changing protections. They're doing all the little things that you have to do to be successful in the NFL. And NDSU has almost got to the point where if I was a quarterback and I was like a mid-tier guy, that'd be where I'd want to go. Like, I'm not going to go to the MAC. I'm going to say, hey, does NDSU have a spot for me? Because I know that they're developing guys and putting them in a position where they can play on Sundays.
Yeah, if you're a 4-star, you're probably looking at like Minnesota or Iowa. But if you're a 3-star guy, NDSU, I think, at a quarterback spot has to be on your list. I mean, you have to be thinking about it.
I can't even say that I would definitely go to Iowa or Minnesota before I would go to NDSU. If I'm really thinking about my future
as a professional,
as my professional, and then getting developed, all those different things, it actually would point in the direction of NDSU.
So I mentioned Randy Hedberg as their quarterbacks coach, and I don't know if you've had any conversations with Randy or not. It really doesn't matter, but what is it about? Because him and just in general, Carson, Easton, and Trey have all talked about just how well North Dakota State prepares you to be an NFL quarterback. Is it just because they're not running, you know, 90% RPO, because they're not running in the air raid? I mean, what is it about North Dakota State's offense and the way that they teach quarterbacks that these guys are so damn pro ready?
Yeah, I actually did get an opportunity to talk to Randy this offseason, and he does a fantastic job just above the neck. And it's that has so much more to do with the guy's success at the college level. If they have an adequate level of skill, if they just understand what are we trying to do, and he does a fantastic job explaining why they're doing the things that they're doing throughout the week and going into each game. Why do we run this play? What are we trying to get out of it? And this is how you do it. And when you go to the line of scrimmage and you're prepared with all those different answers every time you get up there, it's going to allow you to be really, really successful. And I think that Randy does as good a job as anybody in the country in terms of developing that for his quarterbacks.
All right, last one here, and then we'll let you go. Where is Trey? I mean, I'm not going to necessarily ask you to make like a comp to another quarterback that you've worked with, but I mean, where is his NFL ceiling, his NFL level? How good can he be?
Oh man, when you ask that, when you're one of those top picks, you have the opportunity to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, win Super Bowls, you know, be an MVP. Like, he has all the tools to do those things. And I've seen a lot of other guys at his very same age, and he's as talented as the best of them. I saw Carson Wentz after his junior season at NDSU getting ready for his senior season, and physically, Trey's as gifted as him, and Carson's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So that lets you know how highly I think of Trey. He has an opportunity to really be special at the NFL level. He's just that gifted.
All right, thanks, Quincy.
Appreciate you.